Good day, everyone. This is Becky Vercel. I'm excited to have everybody on the call today and to extend a special thank you and invitation to Mr. John C. Maxwell as well and being a part of these calls with us. As you guys do, I look forward to these calls so much every single month, and I can't wait to be uplifted and have a chance to learn even more as much as possible from John. And so as you guys know, John is a world-renowned leadership expert. He literally travels the world and trying to make a difference in people's lives and share of his knowledge and experience. He's written dozens and dozens of New York Times bestsellers, and his last book is one of my favorites here, and I know we've been handing them out left and right, and most of everybody on the phone has a copy of it, but I would love to turn the rest of the time over and get to enjoy a little bit more of what he has to offer and share. And so I'm going to turn the time over to John. John, are you there?
I am here. And thanks, Becky, and to all of you. I'm so glad to be with you, be with Becky. What a wonderful organization. I was sharing with Becky on the phone right before we got on that wherever I travel now, I run into some beautiful Kayani people. And that's neat. And they just think so highly of your organization. And I'm just really, as I'm knowing and learning more about you, I'm just excited I get this monthly time with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very pleased that I'm able to pour into your life. I was asking Becky a few moments ago on the phone, am I helping? Am I giving you what you need? And she was very kind to me, and I want you to know that's very important to me. And the reason for that is because my whole life is all about adding value to people. And that's what I ask myself every morning. How can I do it? Who am I going to add value to? And every evening I ask myself the simple question, did I do this? So anyway, I'm excited about my teaching in a moment. For the last 3 months, we've been talking about keys that unlock the potential in people. And I enjoyed that. And I was thinking a couple of days ago about our call tonight and kind of reflecting on what I wanted to do. And what I would really like to do is I would like to give you what I call the rule of five for leading. And I think you're acquainted with the rule of five. I know Becky teaches it, but I'm just going to take a moment to make sure we understand the rule of five. I always illustrate it by saying that if you had a tree in your backyard you wanted to cut down, you took an axe, and every day you just went and cut on that tree five times, hacked at it five times, put the axe down, did it again the next day, five times the next day, over a long period of time. Everybody knows on this call what's going to happen. That tree is going to fall. It's going to fall because consistently every day you take the axe and you swing at it five times. And the rule of five really basically says that doing the important things every day is much more effective than doing important things once in a while. And I know that Becky teaches you the rule of five in your business. And that's not where I'm going. I want to talk to you about the rule of five for leading, since leadership is what I teach. In the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, I talk about the law of the lid. And in that, I talk about the fact that how well we lead determines how well we succeed, and that our leadership literally is the lid on our potential, and that's true. And every one of you that are on the call with me today, we all have a leadership lid. I have one. You have one. Great leaders, people like Becky, they have one. I do. Everybody has one. And what I know about that leadership lid is that that it really does determine how successful we're going to be. So from a one to a five, if I'm an average leader, I'm just a five. What that means is that I'll probably produce on a level of a four. And the only way that I'm ever going to get better is by becoming a better leader, and I can lift that lid in my life. And so when I talk to you about the rule of five for leading, two or three things are going to just strike you. Number one is they're very simple. You can do what I'm going to say. There's not one person listening on this call tonight that cannot do the rule of five. You just have to know what it is. and then you have to be diligent and practice it every day, which is the second point about the rule of five. It's not only simple and applicable and doable in your life, but the rule of five is something that has to be done every day. And to make sure that it is done every day, it has to be tangible. You see, it's possible if your rule of five is subjective, at the end of the day, you won't be sure if you say, well, did I do that or not? So it's just like taking that axe back to that tree. There's something very tangible about picking up an axe and making five swings. I mean, when you're done, you say, hey, picked up the axe, did five swings. I mean, there's not any debate to it. There's not any doubt. There's not any question about it. Why? Because it's a practical, tangible act. So your rule of five has to be that way. And again, I'm sure that Becky's done an outstanding job in her sharing with you the rule of five for your Kayana business. And I just want to say to all of you that I just think she's a terrific lady. I think she's a terrific leader. And I love the way she cares for you. And I love the way that she is willing to do anything in her power to make you successful. And I love the way how she values you. It's very obvious when she talks to me about you that she really cares for you and values you. And I love the fact that she thinks you can be successful. And, you know, she's willing to invest in you. She's willing to give you time and get her teachings to you so that you can be more successful. So I just really count it as a privilege to be her friend, but it's also as a contemporary leader to leader. You're very fortunate. You're very fortunate. A lot of people with leadership potential follow somebody that doesn't have that potential, and it just puts a lid on them, literally. And it's hard for them to raise up themselves up above that person that's, quote, over them. But in your case, you're not going to have that problem with Becky. She's a very good leader and keeps growing. She keeps learning. It's one of the things I love about her is her desire to learn more. And because she's growing, guess what? You get to grow. Because she's learning, guess what? You get to learn. Because she's experiencing success, guess what? You get to experience success also. So let me talk to you about the rule of five for leading. Five things that I do every day to be a better leader. And I want to just start off with number one, and let's just rock and roll, and you kind of write down the thoughts, and I'll do my best to teach them for a few minutes. Number one is that every day I lead myself. And that's number one on the rule of five, because you have to have, if you've got five things in your rule, you got to start with one somewhere, and so this is number one. But the real reason it's number one is because it really is number one. Let me put it this way. Leading yourself is the most important leadership function that you'll ever do. I was doing a conference, and we were doing Q&A, and a kid that was just finishing up his MBA degree stood up and said, "Johnny, I love what you're teaching about leadership, and it's just so exciting to me. I understand it. I want to be a great leader." But he said, "My challenge is I'm still finishing up my MBA, and so I don't have a group to lead. I'm just in classes. I'm just studying out of books, et cetera." So he looked at me and said, "Who do I lead, John? I mean, I don't have a group. I don't have a business right now. Who do I lead?" And my answer to him was just one word, and I looked at that young man and I said, "Yourself. Just lead you. You." And what I would say to all of you is lead yourself first. And we very seldom think of that. Excuse me. Most of the time, we think, okay, what do I have to do to prepare to lead others? In fact, I'm asked that question all the time. People say, I'm a leader, and would you help me kind of prepare to lead my people to a higher level? And I always want to look and stop and say, time out for a moment. Let me ask you a question. Are you leading yourself to a higher level? Because here's what I know in your business. Here's what I know not only in your business, here's what I know in everybody's business. People do what people see. We learn 85% visually. So how are the people in your business going to learn how to be good in your business and how to be successful in your business? They're going to watch you. And they're going to be just as good as you are. And you're going to set that example for them. Example is not the best teacher. In many ways, it's the only teacher. Because I think that example gives every leader credibility. When a leader can look with confidence in the eyes of their people and say, I do what I'm asking you to do. I succeed in what I'm asking you to succeed in. I practice what I'm asking you to practice. That is tremendous. There's a lot of authority that comes out of being the example. And so when people start talking about their leadership, the first thing we think of all the time is, okay, how do I prepare myself to lead others? And the way you prepare yourself to lead others is, number one, just lead yourself. Because I learned a long time ago, we teach what we know, but we reproduce what we are. So what you're going to reproduce in this business is what you are. So if you are self-disciplined, your people are going to see that. They're going to become self-disciplined. If you are, if you value people, they're going to value people. If you really want to grow yourself and make it a good habit to intentionally learn and develop and read good books and listen to good CDs and watch DVDs, and if you just really apply yourself to growth, guess what? So we are people. As the leader goes, so goes the people. So what does that mean? What that means is that if you can lead yourself well, you can lead others well. Here's what I know. It's much easier for me to sit on this phone call with you tonight and tell you what to do than it is for me to do it myself. It's much easier for me to teach something I know versus do something I know. John Wooden, the great UCLA coach and mentor of mine for a few years, would look at me and say, John, I tell my players, don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you're going to do. And your people that are following you in this Kayani business, if you really want to be a greater version of you, I mean, if you really want to be, then you have to be a greater person of you. You've got to absolutely be out there growing, stretching, developing yourself, reaching your potential. And here's what I know, that you have that potential, but the great leaders are the ones who literally teach out of their example and out of their life. In my book, The 21 Great People Laws of Leadership, is the law of attraction. And what's the law of magnetism? What's the law of magnetism say? We attract who we are, not who we want. You see, if you and I had, I don't know, an hour together to sit down and maybe have a little lunch, and I could just look at you and ask you some questions, by the time the hour was over, I could pretty well know what kind of a level of a person you can attract as far as their abilities, their giftedness. If from a 1 to a 10, you're an 8 leader, you're really a good leader, you're sharp. Well, you know what? You're going to attract some 7s and some 6s around you. You're going to bring into your business above average leaders. Why is that? Because you're above average. And when you lead yourself well, you attract leaders who want to lead themselves well. When you're self-disciplined, you're going to attract leaders that are self-disciplined. When you care for people, you're going to attract leaders that care for people. And so what I know about leading myself is that that's the first thing that I have to really, really get control of. Sometimes I'll be with a group of leaders and I'll ask them, what is the most important thing that would just improve your business? And they'll say things like, well, if I just had better people, John, or if my people were more initiative and self-starters and didn't wait on me to motivate them, it's so much better. And so when they give me a list of these qualities or the things that they're looking at, I listen to them very carefully and what I'm listening for, don't you? I'm listening to find out if they have those qualities. In fact, if I can't figure it out, I'll ask them. So you want people with initiative? I've got a simple question to ask you. And the question is, do you have initiative? You want people that are self-disciplined? Very simple question. Are you self discipline. You want to have people that really get up in the morning and expect good things to happen. What do you expect when you get up in the morning? People do what people see. So leading myself is absolutely essential to my success, and it's essential to your success. And here's what I have learned. When you lead yourself well, you now qualify to lead others. In fact, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure we are qualified to lead someone else until we've led ourselves very well. I mean, think about it for a moment. If I tell people to follow me, if I expect them to follow me, then I've got to make sure that I'm worth following. I think follow me is probably the greatest two leadership words a leader can say, that to look at people with great integrity, great sincerity, with trustworthiness, and say, follow me. But if they do that, then they're going to have to be worthy of followership. And another one of the laws in the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership is the law of buy-in, B-U-Y, buy-in. And that law just simply says people buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. And that's true. You know, you have a wonderful business, wonderful company, terrific leadership. But can I tell you something? You don't sell Kayani first. You don't sell Becky first. You sell yourself first. And when they can buy into you, they're going to buy into what you're sharing, what you're trying to involve them in. But you're the one. So self leadership. Every day you got to lead yourself. And every evening I look at myself and I say, okay, Maxwell, are you a leader worth following? It's a great question. Let's go to number two. We got the rule of five. One is I need to lead myself. Number two, this is the rule of five again for leading. Just how to, what are the five important things you need to do to be a leader? Number two is add value to people. And I've shared with everybody. Every morning I ask myself the question, who can I add value to today? How am I going to add value to them? Every evening, who did I add value to today? How did I add value to them? I am continually asking myself that question. And the reason for that is adding value to people is the first thing that I tell people when they ask. They say, John, I want to be a leader. What do you suggest I do to start my leadership journey? I said, add value to people. Because why? If you add value to people, what happens? You influence people. What happens if you influence people? Very simple. Leadership is influence. So you increase your influence when you increase your valuing of the people. And how do you add value to people? You know, three things, obviously. One, value people. If you don't value people, you're not going to add value to them. And I can tell when leaders don't value people. Here's what I've always discovered about leaders and valuing people. The leaders who truly value the people that they lead do put their people first in their lives. They just understand that the people are first on their time commitments, on their agenda. And the people who don't value people, instead of putting them first, they put themselves first. So whenever I look at a leader, one of the first things I try to ascertain is that leader leading others so that he or she can do well, or is that leader leading others because they want their people to do well? I call that the leadership scoreboard. And what I mean by that, I just came back yesterday. I was in Guatemala, but before I was in Venezuela, and I'm with leaders continually. Whenever I have an opportunity to be with a leader of people, I always ask him one simple question: is that are the people better off now following you than they were before you became their leader? And because that's what leaders do—they value people, and if you value people, you'll want to add value to them. How do you add value to people? Number two, you have to know and relate to what they value. You got to really connect with them where they are. Got to know and relate to what they value. Thirdly, you got to make yourself more valuable. Becky, I was thrilled when you talked about the fact that most of the people on this call have the book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, because that's how you make yourself more valuable. You keep growing, you keep learning, you keep developing others. And often when I talk about adding value to people and pouring into other people's lives, I tell leaders, you know, there are three questions that every follower asks of a leader. And those three questions are, do you love me? Can you help me? And can I trust you? And two of those three questions. Now, that middle question, can you help me? That's a confidence question. That talks about your giftedness as a leader, your ability as a leader, which is very important. Question one and question three, do you love me? Can I trust you? Those questions are always answered yes if you truly value people. And let me say this. If you don't truly value people, question number one, do you love me? And question number three, can I trust you? Believe me, they'll always be answered no by people who don't really, really value leadership. So, in the rule of five of leading, every day I lead myself. Number two, every day I add value to people. Let's go to number three. Every day I study leadership. Every day. Every day I am reading on leadership. I've been gone for 5 weeks. I've been on a pretty long trip. Been in four different countries. It's good to be home. Now, let me just say this. In the middle of my five-week trip, my wife, Margaret, my children, our five grandchildren, they joined us for a week in Washington, D.C. Next week, I was with Margaret in Atlanta. So I haven't been 5 weeks away from a family, but I've been 5 weeks away from home. So I got back, and early this morning, got up and saw all these books that were on my table, books that people send me, publishers send me. Linda orders for me. Linda's my assistant, been with me 20-plus years. And so I spent not a long time, 30 minutes, looking through those books, just kind of looking at the table of contents. And you know what I was doing? I was asking myself of these 20 books that I've got on my desk, which ones do I really spend time in and which ones do I really read? And I made sure that as I was going through those books, that some of those books would be about leadership. And I just thought, okay, this is what I want to do. Why am I asking that question? Because every day I study leadership, and I want to read, and I want. So I've got here on my desk the Catalyst Leader by a friend of mine, Brad Lomelik, who oversees Catalyst for that is a terrific conference for young leaders, and so. Yeah, you know, I've got that one. I've got a book here on my desk called Billy Graham and Me, which is inspiring personal stories from other leaders of their time with Billy Graham and the whole issue of what they learned from this great man, this great leader. So you know, I've got good night. I've got Moeller's book on the 25 principles for leadership that matter. Unleashed by Perry Noble. Okay, what am I saying? I study leadership every day. And people say, well, John, I thought you were the number one leadership guru in the world. Well, perhaps I am, or perhaps people say that I am. Let's put it that way. But what does that mean? That means every day I'm still learning leadership. In fact, the more that I've learned about leadership, the more I know that I don't know about leadership. When I started this leadership journey, I thought to myself, all right, I'll train leaders, I'll teach leadership, I'll study leadership. I'll even write about leadership. And I thought, okay, I'll write a book on leadership, and then I'll be done. I had no idea that I would write many books on leadership, and the fact that as I've written many books on leadership, I realized I still got many more books to write on leadership. The more that you know, the more you know that you don't know. And so I'm saying to you, one of the rule of five is you just got to every day, you've got to study leadership. So when I run into a person as a leader, one of the questions I ask them is, what are you reading? What leadership book are you reading? What are you learning about leadership right now? And I ask that question because I'm hoping they'll either give me a good book that I can go buy that I don't know about that'll teach me about leadership, or what have you learned about leadership recently? I'm hoping they'll give me a thought that'll stimulate my own mind. Here's what I know. Back in the 1970s, okay, most of you that are on this call probably weren't even born back then, but back in the 1970s, I listened to Earl Nightingale. There used to be a series of back then tapes, Nightingale Cognac series. And so in the 70s, I know, 76, 77, somewhere back there, a long time ago. Here's what I heard. Earl Nightingale said, you'll spend 1 hour a day every day on the same subject. In 5 years, you'll become an expert on that subject. And I can still remember hearing that and say to myself, it's like yesterday, saying to myself, okay, he says, if I spend an hour a day on leadership, I can become an expert on leadership in 5 years. And I literally started doing that. I mean, I would make sure every day I carved out an hour to grow and learn. And the question I'm asking you, and you say, well, but John, I'm so busy. And can I tell you something? Being busy and not studying leadership every day is like taking an axe. And after a year of chopping at that tree five times a day, that axe head is dull. And say, well, you know, I don't have time to sharpen the axe. Like, good Lord, I got to chop at the tree. And when people say they don't have time to study leadership, they've got to lead, I say, well, don't you understand that you got to sharpen your axe? And nothing is worse than a leader leading out of yesterday. Nothing is worse than a leader leading like he or she did 5 years ago. Nothing is worse than to have to follow a leader and hear them say the same thing all the time and understand the leader I'm following hasn't had any new leadership thoughts for a long time. That environment and that atmosphere gets real stale real quickly. So, I've given you some practical thoughts about studying leadership every day when I talked about the books and going through them and which ones am I going to read first. But let me give you five things that I try to do very consistently to become a better leader and to study leadership from books and other people. The first area is in regard to reading. I've already shared with you, I read every day about leadership, every day. And one of the things I realized is that in my early years that I was very dependent upon reading books, and I was going to be very dependent on that's going to be one of my main vehicles for learning. And so I looked at my reading and I said, you know, I'm a good reader. I did well in school. But if I really want to consume more material, I need to read faster. And so I took a speed reading course. I remember taking an Evelyn Woods speed reading course. And it helped me. Now, almost all speed reading courses will say that they increase your comprehension. And I can be honest with you, I've never found that true in my life, but I'm not as smart as most people, so probably that's why. But although I don't think it increased or bettered my comprehension of what I was reading, I'll tell you what speed reading has done for me. It allows me literally in a few minutes to get to where the thesis is, and literally within maybe an hour to figure out what the guts and the content of the book is. And so I would just encourage you, it sounds like I have a speed reading company, I don't obviously, but I would encourage you, since reading is so essential to your success as far as studying leadership on a daily basis, I would just encourage you to maybe take a speed reading course. Here's what I've discovered. It has not helped my comprehension. I shouldn't say it won't help yours. I've had a lot of people take speed reading courses and tell me it helped their comprehension. For me, it didn't help my comprehension, but what it did allow me to do is allow me to get to where the truth was, the principles I needed quicker, so that I could wade through pages of a book to get to the meat of the book, because they tell you that old Pareto principle, 20% of the book will give you 80% of content. So if 20% of my books they say will give you 80% of the content. Now, that bothers me. I think probably my books are different. I like to think that. But what that means is if there are 300 pages in a book, then out of that 300 pages, there are about 50 or 60 pages that are going to give you 80% of everything you need. Well, how do you find that which you really need? Speed reading. So what speed reading lets me do is it lets me get to where I need to slow down. So I tell people speed reading will let you get to where you need to go so you can slow down and begin to comprehend what you need to comprehend. And so reading is one of the five things I do to study leadership every day. Another one is resources. I cannot get enough of good CDs or DVDs, but especially CDs because I like to do my work in the car. Again, I'm here. I'm on my at my desk in my office here in Florida, and I've got a couple of CDs that I want to listen to. I want to listen to Timothy Keller. He's got a great lesson on suffering and the benefits and the values that come out of that. Well, tomorrow I'm going to put old Tim in my car and I'm going to go to what they call CD University, I guess. So resources have constantly been an asset to me as far as me studying leadership on a daily basis. And thirdly is what I call learning lunches. Wow. My learning lunches are where I specifically sit down with a person. I buy their lunch, and I usually don't eat because I'm wanting to take notes, and I'm wanting to listen to them, and I'm wanting to gain insight and gain value from them. So what do? I'm sitting down there, and I'm asking questions, and I do that on a periodic basis because again, I want to learn leadership, and if I'm going to learn leadership, I want to study from the leaders. I was on a plane a few months ago, and I was reading John Hope Bryant's book, Love Leadership. I happened to be on the plane with Mark Cole, my CEO of my companies and organizations, and I looked at Mark, and I was probably a third way through the book, and I said, well, Mark, I've got to have Linda go find this guy. I've got to meet him. I've got to sit down. I've got some questions I want to ask him because he did us some good stuff in that book. And just last week when I was in Atlanta, we got together for an hour, and I asked questions, learned so much from him. One of the questions you ask when you're having one of these learning lunches is you look at him and say, who do you know that I should know? Wow. That has led me to some tremendous, tremendous meetings with people that the person I asked that question say, well, I know somebody ought to know. And I always ask myself, will you hook me up? Will you drop them a text and tell them you just had lunch with me and give them my information and ask if they would maybe contact me or could I contact them? But would you kind of open that door for me? So I have learning lunches all the time. But how do I study leadership? By going to leadership events. I'll bet that some of you last week somewhere in America last Friday was with their Chick-fil-A LeaderCast event. I started that event 12 years ago. Chick-fil-A has come alongside now, has done a phenomenal job of upgrading that one-day event via satellite. We were in 750 sites, and I think teaching 125,000 people. And it's just a great event. And there are people come to that event every year. I have an event I do every year called Exchange that meets in the fall with basically CEOs and leaders, about 100 of them. And last year we were in Boston, the year before in Seattle. This year we're going to be down in the Virgin Islands. We're going to do some leadership stuff and compare it to sailing and bring in some America Cup captains that have won America's Cup and have them go and do some sailing exercises. Now, what are those are leadership events? Just a couple of weeks ago, the George W. Bush Presidential Library opened in Texas, and Mark and I looked at each other and said, gotta go as soon as we can. because both of us have gone to every presidential library in America, and we'll spend a day studying history, studying the life of not only great men, leaders, presidents, but the lives of other great people that were around them. And it's always an amazing day. But what I'm saying to you is very simple. If when you're studying leadership on a daily basis, you do it through reading, you do it through resources, you do it through what I call learning lunches, you do it through events, and then number five is you do it through filing. You really do. I've been filing since I was 17 years of age, and I honestly have no idea what my life would be like if I didn't file. I just love to file. And it's taught me so much. It's taught me so much about life. It's taught me so much about learning and growing and being the person that I could be. In fact, this morning, I got up pretty early, went into my office to start working, and I pulled out a George Bernard quote, and it was a quote on life, and Shaw, here's what he said. He said, most people, they find their life, and then they create their life. And I thought, oh, that's a good statement. I like that. So I did what I do when I file, or when I read one of my quotes that I have filed, and that is, I just don't read the quote. I say, okay, go a little deeper here. Study it for a moment, John. What does he mean? Some people, they find their life and they create their life. And then all of a sudden it hit me, Becky. And this is a little sad, but I think it's very true. Most people spend almost their whole life finding their life, finding the purpose, trying to get in sync with themselves, trying to become comfortable in their own skin. And I thought, when we are so consumed with finding our life, there's no room for us to create a new life for ourselves. And I know some people, they're just so inwardly focused in trying to find themselves that they never got it out of themselves. And so I said to myself as I read that quote, I want to help people find their life as quick as possible. Because the moment you find your life and kind of understand why you are here, then you get to create your life. And that's just so much fun. In fact, to me, that's just everything, to be able to create your life. And you and I both know, most people, all they do is accept their life. They don't lead their life. And studying leadership on a daily basis, reading resources, learning lunches, the events, filing, that's allowed me to daily improve myself and be a better leader. I would suggest that you do that, okay? Okay, now on the rule of five, we've talked about three of the five so far. We've talked about if every day I need to lead myself, every day I need to add value to people, every day I need to study leadership. Number four, every day I need to practice leadership. I have come to the conclusion that leadership is something that cannot be learned effectively without application and practice. I have a nonprofit organization called Equip. It's the largest nonprofit leadership organization in the world. And we've trained 6 million leaders in 175 countries. Within 2 more years, we will have trained leaders in every country in the world. But when we train them, we look at them and we say, now, we're going to teach you leadership principles. You need to turn around and you need to train 10 people. We go every 6 months for 3 years to countries around the world. And in those 6 months after we have trained you from this material, you've got to go train 10 people. Now, what are we saying to them? We're saying you can't become a leader studying leadership. You got to become a leader practicing leadership. What was it Malcolm Gladwell said? Nobody's successful unless they have done something 10,000 times or more. And I remember, I'm Malcolm Gladwell, a wonderful person. I remember talking to him one time, and I thought, man, 10,000 times is a lot of times. I'm a speaker, and I've been speaking, my goodness, I've been speaking since I was in college. And I've spoken over 10,000 times. And here's what I know. My communication skills are 10% because of ability and 90% because I practiced, and I've practiced. And what comes out of all that practicing leadership is the fact that I've learned to lead. In other words, again, back to the wooden quote: "Don't tell me what you're going to do; show me what you're going to do." You have to do it. I was out at Stanford University recently. In fact, this was for the LeaderCast that if you saw last Friday across the country. You saw me interview from Stanford Condoleezza Rice. And what a delightful person she is. Hey, what a terrific leader she is. And so before the cameras rolled on the Stanford campus, we were just sitting talking for a while. And so I asked her, I said, Condi, let me ask you a question. Is there a question you do not want me to ask in front of the camera? Because I obviously wouldn't want to say something to her, ask something that would not be proper, something that she didn't appreciate. And she just laughed. She said, "Oh, you can ask me any question." She said, "Every day I'm in a classroom in Stanford with 19-year-old kids," and she said, "That very quickly teaches me to answer everything," because she said, "There's nothing those kids won't ask." And we both kind of laughed. But what she was saying is, I can answer anything. Well, how could she answer anything? Because she's smart. Nope. And she is smart, by the way. She can answer anything about leadership because guess what she's been doing for the last few decades? She has been practicing leadership. I do something that has gone literally viral around the world, and I'm sure that many of you watch when you can. You'll turn on your computer, your iPad, and you'll catch me doing what we call Minute with Maxwell. So just 60 seconds where somebody on camera normally just asks me a question, or you say, you know, and they give me a word. So let's just say, for example, the word is curiosity. So they'll say, "John, tell me what you know about curiosity," or the word today on Minute with Maxwell is curiosity. And then for a minute, I'll just teach off of curiosity. Well, I remember at my coaching conference a couple of years ago, or about a year ago, we're getting ready to do some Minute with Maxwell's with my, about 500 or 600 coaches behind me. And we're getting ready to go live, and the MC said, "Now, in a moment, the camera's going to be on John, and this person's going to ask or give him a word and ask him to kind of define that word for a minute." And he said, "What you have to understand is John never knows the word until he's on camera live. The person gives him the word, and then he just talks." And I remember the people going, "Ooh, ah," and I could tell that they thought that was kind of amazing. I didn't even know what the word was. Camera's rolling. Talk about it for a minute. So when I finished talking about that word, I turned around and I said, let me explain something to you. I'm not as smart as you think I am, and when you realize that I don't know the word before it's given to me, the camera's rolling, you're thinking, oh my gosh, how brilliant that man must be to just right off the top of his head talk about these things. I said, I want you to know I'm not talking about these things off the top of my head. You see, when you give me a word, I've practiced leadership for so long. I have spoken for so long. I have written for so long that as soon as you give me a word, I can teach on it. Now, this is only a minute, so I'm not saying I can teach for a half hour effectively with it, but here's what I am saying. There's nothing spontaneous about me knowing the word and then looking at the camera immediately after hearing the word and teaching off of it. Because all my life I've studied leadership. All my life I've practiced leadership. So all I'm doing is I'm going into my own well and reservoir that I have, and I'm pulling out what I know, and I'm just saying that. So I didn't become brilliant all of a sudden when that camera light went red and I realized that people were going to listen to me do Minute Max. So I didn't become brilliant then. I've been studying leadership and practicing leadership for 40 years. I don't mean this in any kind of an arrogant way at all. But there isn't anything you can ask me about leadership that I can't give you a good answer on. Now, obviously, with study, I could maybe do a better job. But what I'm saying is, you ask me a question on leadership, I've got the answer. Now, is it because I'm so smart? No, it's because I've led so long. I have practiced leadership. And so when the word comes, all I got to do is go in within my resources and say, okay, when did I practice this? When did I try this? What did I learn from this? Okay, you got the point. I know you do. And I'm so delighted to teach you. Every day I practice leadership. But every day I lead myself. Every day I add value to people. Every day I study leadership. Every day I practice leadership. Number five on the rule of five, every day I intentionally grow. I have more passion to grow than I do to lead. It is out of my intentional growth daily that everything that I have that is successful has become a result of it. That's an absolute fact. Everything I basically know about leadership is because I determined to intentionally grow every day. About every illustration, every story, and every quote that I can give you, it comes out of experience. I can still remember. I haven't had this happen in any other book, and I've written, I guess, 70-plus books. But I can still remember a couple of years ago at 3:30 in the morning, waking up. I mean, I was awake. I mean, I just woke up and thought, okay, time to get up. And what's amazing is immediately I knew what my next book should be. I wasn't even going to bed thinking about my next book, but I knew that I needed to write a book on the laws of growth, on the laws of personal growth. How does a person grow himself? How does a person grow herself? So I put my bathrobe on and went downstairs to my office and I started writing on a legal pad. And by noon that day, I basically had written out the 15 laws of growth. And I know what you're saying, wow, John, that's impressive. Not really. That's amazing. Not really. You're incredible. Oh, I know, not really there. Listen to me carefully. The reason that I could sit at a desk in a robe and from 3:30 to 9 literally outline a book that would become a number one New York Times bestseller is because everything I was writing down on the laws of growth I had found to be true in my life, and that's what I love about this book. The 15 laws of growth aren't theory. They're not something I learned from someone else or had somebody else tell me that if I did this, that I would always grow. They all come out of my personal experience. And they all are a result of me intentionally growing. Saying to myself, growth is not an accident. Growth doesn't, quote, just happen. You've got to be intentional in it. But let me close by saying this. I don't know anything that brings great success that comes to us by accident. It's always through intention. It's always through somebody intentionally saying, I need to go there. I need to do this. I need to meet that person. You know, Paul Harvey said, you can tell you're on the road to success. It's uphill all the way. I've always loved that quote, but I think it's true. And what it means uphill, it means that every day is a struggle to be successful. I mean, hey, if success were so easy, everybody would be successful. But there's nothing easy about success. I love the quote that the guy said, all my life I've worked hard at being an overnight success. And what does he mean? It's a process. What do I say? In the 2150 laws of leadership, what do I say? It's the law of process. Leaders develop daily, not in a day. That's true. Here's what I know. If you're going to grow every day, you have to be intentional. Now, if you're going to grow for a day, you don't have to be intentional. Just one day, learn something you haven't learned, read something you haven't read, and you say, wow, that was kind of good. There is no intention needed to do what I need to do today. Listen carefully. There's much intention needed if I'm going to do every day what I need to do. So, Becky, my rule of five for leading is you know, when I finish, it's kind of simple, isn't it? My rule of five is leading is every day I lead myself, every day I add value to people, every day I study leadership, every day I practice leadership, and every day I intentionally grow. And I salute you. I salute all of you from Kayani on the call. I salute you, Becky, and the leaders of this great organization for making this available to your people, because when we talk about the laws, the five rules of leading well, and we just finished the intentional growth, Becky, you, your inner circle, your leader said, I'm going to get Maxwell on the phone every month and he's going to grow us. This is intentional growth. So the good news is Becky and the leaders at Kayani, they've already set you on the path to intentional growth. You just need to stay there now. And remember this, the secret of success is what you and I do on a daily basis. It's not what you and I did at some great moment a month ago. It's not what you and I did on January the 1st of this year. It's what we're doing now. And when I go to bed in a few hours and fall asleep, this day's lost. There's nothing that can get it back for me. I can't buy it back. I can't wish it back. It's gone. And what I realize at my age, 66, is that I got to make every day count. I've got to strike well every day because that tree, I've got to take my axe and I've got to make sure I put a good hit on that tree every time. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to think of the fact that you need to be intentional in your growth. I hope, Becky, you've enjoyed this. I hope the people in your wonderful company have enjoyed this. I sure have enjoyed sharing with them today.
Thank you, Don. I so appreciate you taking the time. And obviously, we know how incredibly busy you are. And, you know, our biggest motto with Greatest Version of You is talking about becoming the leader that you would want to follow, let alone asking other people to follow. And so I want to congratulate everybody on the phone for taking the time out of their schedule to take those steps. And it's as easy as, you know, these conference calls are, it's easier not to get on them. And so being able to make those sacrifices, as small as they may seem, will go a long way. So, and I again want to thank Don, and we're incredibly grateful that you learned very early on who you are and what your purpose in life was. Because of that and because of your dedication to adding value to people, we've all been able to benefit from your expertise. I mean, literally millions of people worldwide. But after these calls, I have hundreds of people on a monthly basis that thank me for putting these calls together and for allowing them to learn from the best of the best. But quite honestly, as much as I appreciate their thanks and as much as I pray for their success, I'm probably the most excited and the most grateful for your time and your willingness to participate. So, Don, thank you again for this.
Thank you, Becky. You are a terrific leader and a wonderful friend. And thank you for letting me have the privilege of trusting me and respecting me enough to allow me to come into the lives of people that you love, people that you have led so well. And it's a team effort. And it's also easy. It's easier to stay off the call than to get on it. But when you get on it, it's also easier to listen than it is to apply. So take the stuff that Becky shares and the other leaders at Kayani share and that I share and keep applying it to your life. And, hey, we'll do it again next month, Becky.
Thank you, John. And just along those lines, I mean, it is time to put the action behind the desire. And I think the very first thing you can do to apply is make sure that you've registered for the event that Don has again, so willingly agreed to be a part of. And November 2nd in L.A., you can go to greatestversionofyou.com, click on store, and register for that right away. We literally only have, I think we only have about 45 seats left available. And as we've always talked about, we want to keep it to a small group and have that intimate experience, you know, in that meeting and being a part of learning and growing through John's incredible training. So God bless everyone. John, again, we look forward to your call next month. And you guys have a wonderful and fabulous month. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.